This is Sancho Panza, an Animorphs fanfic written by Poetry and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and is gen, with additional tags for alternate universe, canon divergence, dark, Tumblr ask box fix, alternate universe book 1. Author's notes. Written to a prompt by the Anchorless Moon. What about something from an AU where one of the Animorphs is already infested when they cut through the construction site? With a Yerk who already has serious doubts about the Empire? Bonus points if it's Jake, Rachel, or Margot. Content warning for suicidal ideation.
Oh no.
Said Janath 10110, as the mysterious light in the sky approached the construction site.
Oh shit, that's an Andalite fighter. Oh good,
I said brightly.
Let's go toward it and see if it kills us. Please don't say things like that,
Janath pleaded.
I've asked you to stop saying things like that. Why? Because it hurts your little slug feelings? I bet it hurts my mom's feelings worse when Visor One makes her kill people.
I pictured Andalite warriors streaming out of the ship and vaporizing me with their shredders. Hey, guys, Janath said with my mouth. Maybe we should turn back. What if there's Klingons in there or something? I don't want to risk it.
Or maybe you should go toward it,
I mused.
After all, if it turns out you could have stopped some Andalite warriors and you ran away instead, wouldn't you get in trouble?
Come on, Marco, Jake said, tugging on my shoulder. It's an alien ship.
Or maybe,
I went on,
the Andalites will tell them about the war and the Yerks, and then they'll figure out your little secret, and they'll force you out of me, and then your little ethical dilemma about whether to keep enslaving a poor human kid will be solved for you.
Somehow, of all the jabs I'd taken at my Yerk, that was the one that convinced him. Okay, he said to Jake. Fine, but we better get some proof that this really happened. We're gonna be famous. It was a little sad how excited the others were, especially that weird kid Tobias. They thought it would be cool to meet aliens. Once upon a time, I would have thought it was cool too. Funny how that turned out. Yeah, no kidding. Everyone else's enthusiasm went down the toilet pretty fast when the Andalites said that the Yerks had come to destroy them. I could feel how much Janath hated the Andalite, how he was terrified and repelled by him. That made me like him, of course. And the way he warned everyone about Yerks taking over humans. I'd pretty much accepted by that point that no one was ever going to figure out I'd been taken over by an alien. Now, I actually had a chance. As long as my friends managed not to get caught. That was on Janath, my weirdo Yerk who claimed to feel guilty about infesting me.
I won't turn in your friends,
Janath said, even though his promises to me were worth zilch, since he could go back on them anytime he wanted.
Go into my ship,
the Andalite said.
You will see a small box, fairly plain. Bring it to me. Quickly. Holy shit,
I said, as Jake, because of course it was Jake, went into the ship to get the cube.
Is he really going to give us the morphing power? You sure about not turning us in? You'd be an idiot not to. If I wanted to become a Visser, then you're right. I would be an idiot not to. Then what do you want?
I raged. This was beyond ridiculous. Janath had his mortal enemy, an Andalite, right in front of him, and he was still playing the part of me. What the hell was he doing?
I want to be free,
Janath said quietly.
Killing this Andalite wouldn't help, even if I could manage it. Becoming a Visser would only trap me further. Funny? That's the same thing I want. But a certain Yerk I could name won't let that happen.
Janeth didn't answer. He pressed my hand to the morphing cube. I played out the scenario in my head of trying to escape from my cage at the Yerk pool. But everyone would see me morph, and they'd rake on me before I could even finish.
Go now. Run,
said the Andalite.
Visor 3 is here. He is the most deadly of your enemies. Of all the Yerks, he alone has the power to morph. The same power that you now have. Now run!
He didn't have to tell Janeth twice. Morphing wasn't the most dangerous thing about Visor 3. It was that he was crazy, bloodthirsty, and had the power within the Visarchy to do whatever the hell he wanted. He hid with the other kids, the only one who really knew just how much trouble we were all in. And then Visor 3 greeted him as Prince Elfangor, like an old friend, and Janeth had a bit of a freak out. Jake had to grab onto me to keep Janeth from thrashing around. Even I recognized that name. The Yerks talked about him like the boogeyman.
What's wrong, Janeth? Scared Beast Elfangor is gonna get you?
I regretted that taunt as soon as I made it. Elfangor wasn't actually a boogeyman. He was a mortal being. And Visor 3 ate him. Not that that gave Janeth any satisfaction either. Jake called after we got home. Are you okay? He said. Duh, I'm not okay, Janeth said, because it was exactly what I would have said. Maybe it was all some kind of nightmare, Jake said, and we'll forget it in the morning. No, Janeth said, surprising me again. I don't think it was. I can't laugh this off, Jake. This is for real.
Why did you say that?
I said to Janeth after he hung up.
Wouldn't it be better for you if he just forgot about it?
If everything Janeth had done so far had surprised me, the next thing he said would have made my jaw drop, if I could move a single muscle without his say-so.
I like him.
He's a good guy.
He deserves his real brother, not the Thaps and Timrush.
A week after Janeth told Jake about Tom, for some reason, after he fought with the others at the Yerk Pool for some even weirder reason, after Tobias got trapped, he lay awake, staring at the ceiling. I knew why I couldn't sleep, but I didn't get what had Janeth so worked up. I didn't understand anything about him. Finally, he said,
I can't take this anymore. What if the morphing cube is still lying around the construction site somewhere? I have to check.
He opened my window and morphed Osprey. My eyesight was no better than a human's at night, but I knew the way to the construction site, and he flew there. When I demorphed, it was cool enough that goosebumps rose all over my bare skin, and my bare feet crunched painfully on rubble. Janeth didn't care. He searched under every stone, checked every crevice. He found nothing. The next night, he did it again. And the next. It became an obsession with him. I went to school every day yawning, with bags under my eyes. I taunted him for it.
Is this what a Yerk nervous breakdown looks like?
But finally, in a nook in a half-fallen wall, he found it. My Osprey morph couldn't carry the thing all the way back to my house, so he wrapped it in a bundle of old rags left by a homeless squatter and carried it the whole walk home.
What are you going to do with it?
I demanded. My feet ached with tiny cuts from broken glass at the construction site.
Is this why you fought with the others? You were holding on for the special shiny prize you think you'll get from Visor 3 when you give him this? He'll just take it from you and steal all the credit. That guy is psycho. If I give it to Visor 3,
Janeth said,
he'll give the power to his subordinates, and then they'll conquer everyone on your planet for certain. I don't want that to happen. Really?
I said.
Then why the fuck do you do it to me?
The next day, after school, he threw the cube in a backpack and walked to Jake's house. He knocked on the door. Jake opened it. He must have seen how much of a wreck I was after so little sleep, because he frowned. What's up? Can I take Homer for a walk? Janeth said. I thought it might be, I don't know, stress relief or something? Jake smiled. Yeah, I like walking him too. Homer's a good dog. He went inside and fetched Homer. When he clipped the leash to Homer's collar, the dog's face split in a grin. Janeth took the leash. Hey, Jake said. Want me to come along? I'd rather be alone with Homer for a while, Janeth said, if that's okay. Sure, Jake said. Just have him back by dinner, okay? Janeth walked Homer out to the woods. I tried to figure out what the fuck was going on. Then, when we were in good tree cover, Janeth said,
Please don't kill me when I do this. I've already tried to think of every possible way I might kill you,
I said.
We both know I can't. No,
Janeth said. He shifted the backpack over my shoulder, took out the morphing cube, and pressed it to my ear.
I've thought about this for a long time. You asked me why I keep you as a slave if I think it's wrong. Well, I thought I had no choice. But now I do. You saw what Tobias did. Became a Nothlet, or whatever the Andalites call it. I heard what Jake said about what it was like to morph Homer. He's happy all the time.
Homer, giving up on me walking him any further, started nosing curiously around the base of a tree.
I know you want to kill me,
Janeth said.
I know why. But please, Marco, just let me be happy.
And then he did the impossible. The thing I thought he would never do. He crawled out of my ear. He set me free. I pulled the cube away from my ear. He was sitting there on top of it, just a slug. I imagined the morphing power flowing into him, the way it had flowed into me. Without thinking too hard about what I was doing, I picked him up and pressed him to the fur on Homer's back. Homer relaxed, lolling down into the leaf litter. Then the slug started squirming in my hand. I yelped and dropped it. It was growing. Homer barked at it. I pulled him back. It was one of the grossest things I've ever seen. A giant yerk growing fur and teeth and legs. But I could crouch down and pet Homer. My body, my choice. I hugged Homer to my chest until the morph was over. I could feel him growling in his chest at the new dog. I held on to him.
Jake was right,
said Janeth, wondering.
He's so happy.
I had a watch on. I walked with Homer and Janeth through the woods. If he tried to demorph, I could just kill him. We didn't talk. It felt so good to walk under my own power. I didn't really have anything left to say.
Is it over?
Janeth said, finally, when the sun was beginning to sink. Yeah, I said hoarsely, looking down at my watch. It's over.
Then take Homer back to Jake. I'll be here in the woods if you want to find me.
I will never want to find you, I said. I never want to speak to you again.
I get that,
Janeth said.
But still, I'll be here.
When I took Homer back, the Berensons were in the middle of dinner. They were pissed. What were you doing with Homer for so long? Said Tom. I don't know, I said. I went on a long walk and I just lost track of time, I guess. Jake gave me a hard look. Later, I mouthed at him. I'd have to tell him about this sooner or later. But I couldn't do it today. I spent the whole night with my dad, eating dinner together, watching TV together. Just him and me. No Janeth. When I slept, there was no one listening in on my dreams. At school, I thought about him, living out there in the woods as a dumb house pet. He'd die out there. Good riddance, right? But there was so much he knew about the Yurks that we didn't. Information we could use. When school let out, I went to the woods where I'd left Janeth behind. He must have smelled me, because he ran through the trees toward me. His fur was already dirty and matted. "You were right," I said. "Come on." I walked home, trailing him behind. "What have you got there?" Dad said from the sofa, when I came into the living room with Janeth at my heels. "He followed me home," I said. "He's really friendly, see?" I reached down and petted him. His tongue lolled out. "Can we keep him?" Dad sighed. "Are you ready to take care of him? Feed him, walk him, clean up his mess?" I looked him in the eye. I hate playing the guilt card with him, but it works. "I'm good at taking on responsibility," I said, knowing that he knew why I'd had to become responsible fast. Dad's eyes clouded over. "You know, your mother had a dog when she was a girl, back in Mexico. She named him Sancho Panza, you know, after Don Quixote's sidekick. The squire who'd come with him to tilt at windmills and all that stuff." "That sounds like a good name," I said, looking down at Janeth. "Someone will help me charge at windmills." Dad sunk back down in the sofa and cracked open a beer can. "Hope Sandra makes you happy, Marco. Now go wash him up. Don't want him tracking dirt everywhere."
"You're not Don Quixote,"
Janeth said when I took him to the bathroom and started the tub.
"You don't have any romantic notions. You know exactly what you're getting yourself into."
"You're right," I said. "I do. Which is why no matter what I say in front of my dad, I'll never forget exactly what you are and what you're capable of. Now get in the bath." Janeth was wrong. I did have a romantic notion. A pathetic dream of one day saving my mother. Visser One was the giant I wanted to slay. I just didn't have to tell a stupid story about a windmill to get one. The end. Reader's notes. So my inspiration podfic for Podfic Broken Telephone was Nothing Lasts Forever, recorded by Duende Verde 4, which was an Avatar The Legend of Korra fanfic about characters that I did not know, but the characters, one is an all-powerful spirit and one is a human, and basically they're merged and they're sharing the same body, and it's like possession. And my first thought was that it was actually a terribly angst-filled story because there was sadness, and those two were getting along, and I guess they were a voluntary merging. I'm not super familiar with the canon, but there was a particular line where the spirit was like, the human had sort of passed out, and the spirit had control of the body and used that body to kick some serious metaphysical and also physical ass. And, of course, what I took from that was Goa'uld, or Yurks, bodily possession, where you're not happy about it. And then I found this fic, and poetry has blanket permission, and the Animorphs make my heart happy, but also sad at the same time, because I basically had every single one of those, and Rachel deserved better, and also Tobias, and everybody was like, anyway, finding this fic where what if somebody was already controller when they got their powers was like the perfect AU to fit with this. I had a lot of fun playing around with the audio effects for the Yurk voice and for Marco's inner monologue voice and for Elfangor's voice. I hadn't actually listened to any Animorphs audiobooks, and I couldn't really remember how they did the sound effects on the TV show because I didn't really watch the show, I read the books. So I decided to go for something that felt more, here are all the ways I can use GarageBand, and a little bit less, here is how things sound in canon. So, Duende Verde recorded a story about two people, or two beings who were happy to have shared control of the body, and I decided to go the other direction, two beings who were not happy to be sharing control of the body. I'm still waiting for my SG-1 Animorphs crossover. One day it will happen where somebody realizes that the Goa'uld and the Yurks are basically the same brain snakes, and then either SG-1 is like, oh shit, we've been fighting these on an intergalactic scale, but also these tiny teenagers in California have been doing so, we're not very good at secrets, or something. Maybe Cassie or Rachel ends up in the Stargate, you know, under the mountain, they end up on an SG team, and they're like, I thought we beat these fuckers back already. Why are they still attacking us with fucking wormholes now? Or something. Stargate SG-1 Animorphs crossover. I need that to live. Anyway, thank you for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.